The following is a presentation of Remnant. Light of the
world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
Some of us has probably lost a loved one. Some of us probably lost a pet. Some of us probably lost a relative. Some of us are probably just facing just horrendous obstacles, marriages, relationships, jobs, worrying. But God is there. If you stay connected, it's going to be okay. We have to remember the people in the desert before the Red Sea. Geez, Moses, you brought us out here. We could have just stayed in Egypt. There was a good time over there. And God said, wham, there you go. Is that good enough? Parted the Red Sea only. We can't complain, folks. We need to stay connected to God. Amen. I call this a Christian connection for that very reason. We need to have that connection with Jesus Christ every day. If you're not a believer in this room today, I pray the Lord Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit speaks to you directly to your heart. And He speaks to all of us that have been seasoned as well. This word is for all of us. It's not just for me, because I've studied it all week. It's for all of us. And I'm going to talk about a book and a man that's hardly ever mentioned. Some of you have probably never heard of him. But before we start reading our scripture, I would like to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for who you are and what you do. You are great. You are powerful. You are mighty. You're awesome. You're omniscient. You're omnipotent. You're omnipresent. You're sovereign, God. You're all-powerful. You're all-knowing. God, we face things we don't understand. But this morning, starting now, we're going to lean to you, trust to you, and look up to you and praise you and give you the glory through whatever we're facing. God, Holy Spirit, come in this room. Fill this place. Fill our hearts, our minds, and our thoughts. Grab our minds, God. Remove the weak that we might have went through, all the busyness and the distractions. Remove them right now in Jesus' name. Amen. We will be reading out of 1 Chronicles, chapter 13. Some of you never heard of that book. 1 Chronicles, it's in the Old Testament, chapter 13, verses 5 through 14. 1 Chronicles 13, verses 5 through 14. That might read a little different up on the screen. I think I brought a different Bible. Everybody there, amen? Y'all awake? Because I'm awake. I was feeling down all week, but you guys pump me up right now. I just shift another gear. Can you tell? That's called the Holy Spirit. And He wants us to wake up and get ready to get fed. Forget about yesterday and today and this week. Right now. Because Jesus doesn't change. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay. Squick up. Okay. You got your attention now. You don't want me to signal these phlegm demons on you, do you? I'll just come talk over you a little bit. These legions are almost gone. There's like a third of them still in there, but they'll be gone by this week because I know y'all are praying. Amen. First Chronicles 13, I'll start. Verse 5. So David gathered all Israel together from Shihor to Egypt, in Egypt to as far as the entrance of Hamath to bring the Ark of God from Kijarth. These are some weird names. Jerim. I'm just going to pronounce them as they came out. Verse 6, and David and all Israel went up to Baalah and Kirjath Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God of the Lord, who dwells between the cherubim, where His name is proclaimed. Verse 7, so they carried the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahoyo drove the cart. Verse 8, then David and all Israel played music before God with all their might, with singing and harps and stringed instruments, on tambourines, on cymbals, and with trumpets. Verse 9, and when they came to the Kildon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. Verse 10, then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and he struck him because he put his hand to the ark, and he died there before God. And David became angry because the Lord outbreak against Uzzah. Therefore, that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. Verse 12, David was afraid of God that day, saying, how can I bring the ark of God to me? So David would not move the ark with him into the city of David, but took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. Verse 14, the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months, and the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. You guys know who I'm talking about now? Have you ever heard of Obed-Edom? Raise your hand. Okay, got some Bible scholars, cool. Don't take notes then. Obed-Edom's name means servant of God, first of all. Amen. And we need to remember what David wanted to do. He wanted to bring God's presence. The ark represents God's holy presence. Amen. And we can't forget that. We need to forget we serve a holy, mighty God, that he can do anything. We just need to believe it. We need to move in it. But we need to remember, we can't forget, folks. We're very forgetful people. We tend to turn away real quick from God. Talking about forgetting and remembering, I'll start with a little joke. You guys are going to love this one. It cracked me up all week, and I still talk about it. There's these two elderlies in their late 90s, very old, and they were just forgetting everything towards each other, what they were doing. They were very concerned. So they went to see their doctor. The doctor checked them, did tests, did the whole nine yards. The doctor says, you guys are fine. I mean, your health, everything checks. It's just, you know, you're just forgetting a little bit. And maybe just take notes of everything you want to do, and that way you show them to each other, you won't forget. And they go, okay. So they go home a couple of days later. They're in bed. The husband gets up, starts walking towards the kitchen. That's an old man walk. I'll be walking like that soon. I'm almost there. So he's walking off to the kitchen. And the wife goes, honey, yes, honey. She goes, will you please bring me some ice cream? Sure, honey. How about some cherries on top? Yes, honey. And maybe some nuts and some whipped cream? Yes, honey, I'll get it. And she goes, aren't you going to write it down? You're going to forget. He goes, oh, I won't forget. It's just there in the kitchen. So he goes in there a couple of minutes later, walks back in with bacon and toast and eggs. And she goes, you see, you did it again. What happened? What did I forget? You forgot the bacon. We all tend to forget stuff. We can go from one room to another and forget why we're there. But see, God's word is so powerful. And this is what I want to talk about this morning, that God's power is transcending. I'm not going to talk so much about the ark of God. We already know it's God's presence. We're not going to talk so much about where the ark was, which we know David had to go bring it back because the Ammonites took it. There was a lot of wars back then. Then it ended up with Saul. And then finally David started reigning, so he wanted to go bring God's presence back, which was the ark. The ark hadn't been around Israel in a while, which means God's presence wasn't around Israel or God's people at the time. It was drying up, and God needed to do something. And why did God strike this general down, Uzzah? Because first of all, David took all the wrong intentions in how to bring it back. He didn't follow the instructions of God. First of all, he used the wrong tribe. That wasn't the right tribe. God wanted another tribe to bring the ark back. Second of all, they put it on a new ark, as we read. God didn't say to put it on a new ark. That ark was going to be fine, because sometimes we try to fix things for God, and you can't. Let it be what it is. Let God handle it. See? And third of all, he touched it. Oh, I got this. Everybody's seen. I'm a general. I'm going to save the ark. Zap them dead. See, we can't intervene with God, what he's doing. Your cart might look all tore up like I've been all week, but he's going to see you through. I want to talk about staying connected with Jesus Christ, a connection with God. Amen? So see, we forget, and we need not to forget. See, the ark hadn't been around Israel. It was stolen by the Philistines and moved around, finally ended up with Saul. Then David went back to get it, which we pick up on 1 Chronicles 13:5, which it says, so David gathered all Israel from Shishor to Egypt to as far as the entrance of Hamath to bring the ark of God back. There it is, and it jumps to 13:12-14. Then David was afraid of God that day and asked, how can I ever bring the ark back to me? He knew something was wrong. Something was wrong. Is something wrong in your life today? Are you not quite connecting with God the way you should? Or trusting him, or you're trying to fix the ark or the cart, better yet? We all can be tore up sometimes. I've been tore up all week, and I made it here. Okay, I got to be honest. I took some NyQuil here and there at night so I can sleep. I took a few meds here and there. I was trying to make the cart right. But I said, I just gave it to God. I had some of you pray for me. Some of you were praying because I do feel better. We started this great thing, man. We're meeting here at 10:30. I invite all you men. Wives, please, let us borrow your husband once in a while at 10:30. We get back here and pray now. We got to start moving for remnant. We got to start making this church move. Our lives revive and connect with God. That'll show where your fruits are. And wives, trust me, you'll be blessed. You're going to see your man change as we get into the story here. And I'm trying to get there. So here we are. David goes back for the ark and he says, oh, you know, I can't take this back. And here's a whole assembly, a legion of armies outside Obed-Edom's home. They knock on his door. And there the king of Israel is there telling him, excuse me, Mr. Obed-Edom. We have this ark here of God and we don't want to quite take it home yet. And we just drop it off here at your house. Can you imagine Obed? What? And a man died and touched it and died? I don't want that thing in my house. Mm-mm. Get it out. Keep going. Move on. Talk to the hand, as they say. See, sometimes we're afraid to let God in. We wall up. We close up. We block. We lie. We justify. We compromise. That's hurting my toes. It should be crushing yours. That's why I wore the shirt. Jeremiah 23:29 says, God's word is like a hammer. It crushes a rock. So there, it's God's word. His word is like a hammer. It has to crush us down. It has to humble us. So it's what's going to change us and transform us into what he wants us to be. So Obed-Edom says, yeah, sure, leave it. He didn't doubt. He didn't question it. Yeah, bring it in. He was already a follower of God. He believed in God. Here's a man just living his life, following God. He knew about the Lord. I'm sure he knew about the ark. He said, bring it on in. That's how we should take God into our lives. Yeah, Lord, come on in. Do what you have to do. The cart looks a little tore up, but I know what you know what you're doing, and I don't. See? Sometimes we want to fix it. Self gets in the way. Let God fix it. If you're hurting, he can fix it. It hurt when my wife died. It hurt when my dad died. It hurt when my dog died. I had a lot of deaths in a couple of months, from my wife to my dog to my dad. But death is inevitable. God made it that way. He gave us a chance here to make it right, boot camp, to get it right up there. Let your cart be all tore up. As long as you shine for Jesus Christ, people are going to judge us. They're going to talk about us. They're going to quote us. Don't walk your faith on looking at people's lives. Walk your walk towards Jesus Christ. Look to the cross. Your cart's all tore up. You keep looking to the cross. I know in this room we've been talked about, ridiculed, judged. Oh, poor me, some of us want empathy, sympathy. God is good. But he wants you to get up. Pick up that rugged cross or your rugged cart and move on. Let God in your home. Let God in your life. Let God in your heart. Let him do what he has to do. Can't even get to my notes. So here's the ark. And Obed-Edom says, yeah, bring it in. So what was so special about this ark? We already know. It was God's presence and it started blessing everything in Obed's home. The actual power and presence of God was there. What did this ark of God do for Obed-Edom's home? Which is my first point. Number one, the presence and power of God changed Obed-Edom's home life. I think I put verse 14 there. I don't know why. Because that very last 14 we read, it says it started blessing everything in his home. Can you imagine? They bring it in, and the next day Obed wakes up, he's going to work. Probably his wife's right there making coffee, maybe some breakfast. Looks at her, and he goes, she's starting to look a little pretty there. Tells the kids to get up. The kids are already up, ironing, getting ready for clothes. The kids started listening. Wow. The dog was already outside doing this thing. Things started changing. God does that in your home, but you got to allow him in. Give it some time. Let God reveal to you. It happened to me. I thought I loved my wife when she was still here and I lived with her those 15 years. But when I really started getting convicted with God and dragging my cart around and trusting in God, my wife got more beautiful. Her character, her way of being, the way she acted towards me, even hostility, didn't faze me because I was seeing the presence of God in her. That's God's child. You got to see your partner for that. God's creation. then that love will grow. A servant for the Lord, like Obed-Edom. Is there any Obed-Edoms in this room this morning? Or is there some Uzzahs in here trying to correct God's mistakes or fix things for God? Are you going to be an Uzzah or an Obed-Edom when you leave these doors and when you continue living your life for God? I want to be an Obed-Edom. I want to serve all that I can. I got one shot at this. And I want to do the best that I can. I want to come before the presence of God. And I want to hopefully be able to look at Jesus' face and him tell me, good job, servant. Come on in, buddy. There's a party waiting for you. That should be our whole desire, our whole destination, to make it right here, to live a legacy, to be an Obed-Edom, a servant of God, from your heart, not from your teeth, not with words, but with action. Uzzah's like, I got this. It's going to fall. Everybody's watching. We love attention. I try to be as humble as I can. Jesus healed people and snuck out. Where did he go? He didn't want no attention to himself. God gets the glory. And this was Obed. All that he wanted to do for God, and his home started changing. His car started running a little better. You know, I have a Harley. It needs work, and it runs. My van's kind of breaking down. It runs. I pray for my vehicles, and they're still running. I'm telling you, folks, you got to be an Obed and believe and trust God and pray for things. You'll keep that old clunker going. Throws a little bit of oil here and there. It's okay. You know where you've been. You know what I see? This cart was tore up. How did God know it was going to make it all the way into Israel? Because he's God and we're not. He knew. So here's Obed's home changing now. You know, my daughters started changing. They're not here today. No, they couldn't make it. Well, one moved away. But they started changing because they saw the change in me. Man, you're the light. You're the leader. You're the head of the house. If you're a single woman, a wife that runs a home, you're the head of the house. You stand up. And if your husband or your partner is not standing up to the game, you get up and bat. One of you's got to lead for Jesus Christ. Be an Obed-Edom. Don't be an Uzzah. So this ark started changing his home. Obed-Edom, by allowing God to come in, started changing his whole life and his whole home. Without the presence of God in our lives, we will be under our own power and will never truly, get this, you will never truly experience the joy of God. A lot of times people don't understand the smile and the joy and the fire they see in this man at work or wherever I go. Gosh, your wife died, your dad died, you're still smiling. It's the joy that I found in God. It has nothing to do with me or what I can do. Because if I did it on my own, there would be no joy. You'd see a lemon face. You ever see a lemon face? You bite a lemon. Lemon face. Look at a lemon face. You all right, brother? I'm fine. God bless you. You're not. You're trying to do it on your own power. You're trying to be Uzzah. You need to be an Obed-Edom. Just trust God. Let him in. Folks, when I let him in my heart, boy, some things change. He's still changing stuff. After 16 years, there's still stuff in there. Right now, there's a lot of phlegm demons, but they're coming out. That's natural. That's the atmosphere. We can't change that. We can't do it on our own power, and you'll never experience the joy of God. Listen, folks, there's a difference between happy and joy. Happy means when things happen, you're happy. But the real joy is inside. I've seen people smile. Yeah, I'm happy, but their face cracks. They're cracked. I can see the cracks because they haven't experienced the joy of God. They're so focused with the obstacle, with the thing in front of them, trying to fix that cart. Hammering, get it? Hammering away. On their own power, and you're going to wear out. You're going to burn out. You're going to run from God. You're going to be discouraged with Christianity. You're going to be discouraged with some of these churches that are out there because you're so focused on that and not on God. I've said it before. No matter who's up here speaking or at whatever church they're speaking, seek God's voice, not the person. Don't have a favorite speaker. Love them all. I'll guarantee you hear from God. I've been under many pastors, and I'm under two great ones now. And I've been under some good ones down the road. I've learned from all of them, and I'm still learning. And that's where the joy comes from, the hunger. I want that. I want the joy of God. I have problems. I want the joy of God. I can't make that bill. I want the joy of God. They threw me out of my home. I was renting. Got to move. I want the joy of God. My marriage is falling apart. I got to seek God. It's the only way. I want to be a successful young person. Seek God. Some of you probably don't have the finances or the means to get there. Don't fix the car. Let God lead you. Young ones, you'll get there. You got the first point? What the ark did to Obed-Edom's home and what it can do in your home, or maybe it's been doing in your home, or maybe he's been there and you want to lead. You got to let God lead. He'll come in your home and change everything. Everything about my house even physically changed. My wife started putting up scriptures and frames and pictures of just biblical stuff, because we can put up some stuff that's going to just mislead you, and it's going to invite some other spiritual things in there that's not going to let you grow. Maybe some movies you're watching, they're not edifying God, especially those scary demonic movies. You might not believe in that, but you're going to lead your home into some dark alleys there. God said this, and I don't have the address. With that same tongue, you praise and worship me, but that same tongue, you curse and see all this other stuff. And you say you honor me and you want to be an Obed, Edom. Still on point one. You guys getting it? When we allow God in, he puts a new desire in us, and we must go after it. Now you have God in your life. It's in your home. You know things are changing, or you're fighting it because you don't want them to change. You got to grab that desire and run with it. If you're going to be proudful, some of you, or arrogant, and say, I'm good, I don't need this, God will deal with you. But you need to grab that desire and run with it. That's where it is at. He puts that desire. It's not you. For me, being up here now as a pastor, a minister, a speaker of God, I had no planning in this. God has put me here. God brought me to Remnant with Jerry and Jeremiah to talk with you, to know you, to congregate with you, and hang out with some of you. And hopefully one day see all of you up there with Obed and that elderly couple that always forgot everything. Where are we, honey, in heaven? We are. The best part about that is I love the ending of the book. We're going to have a new name, a new body. You're going to be strong. You can fly everywhere. You're going to be sick. You're not going to cry. There's going to be no death, no cry. God's going to I told someone this. It says in Revelation, God's going to wipe our tears from our eyes. That means God's going to come up and touch us when you get there. That is awesome. I am so eager for that day. God came up to my wife when she passed and took all her pain and tears away, because she suffered for 4 years with that cancer, and now she's in the glory of God, basking in his presence. That should be our desire. That's the desire. Your future. But right now, you're in boot camp. Don't fix the car. Let God fix it. Put him first. Let him work in your home, folks. I'm going to turn blue into the face, and I'll preach it every time. Let God work in your homes. Let God work in your homes. He's done it for me. He can do it for you, and he's doing it for some of you. I can see it in your faces. Jesus has taught me to look in faces. The eyes are the lamp to the body. You talk to some people sometimes, they don't want to look you in the face, you know. Yeah, I'm okay, bro. Let me see your lamps then. Let me see your lamps. Oh, it's just a little flint. But Jesus can light those lamps. Put your chin up. Be proud you're a follower of Jesus, no matter what you're facing. That cart will be renewed by God, not by you. Amen? So that's what the presence of God did in Obed-Edom. Things started changing in his home. Here comes point two. It gets interesting here. Number two, the presence and power of God changed Obed-Edom's priorities. It changes priorities. How so? Okay, I'll tell you how so. In the scripture we read this morning, I'm pulling out a text here. Comes the second knock. My knock's not good. I got a lot of phlegm. I'm sorry. Thank you. And there's the whole legion of Israel again with David. He says, Obed, I got to take the ark. What? What? You take the ark? Oh, you couldn't tell the king nothing back then because he'd just wipe your head off. Okay, take the ark. Obed's like, what do I do now? Family, what do we do? You know what he did? Let's read what he did. I can imagine Obed. They're taking the presence of God. My priority's got to change. Look at 1 Chronicles 15:16. Then David spoke to the leaders of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers accompanied by instruments of musical string instruments and harps. Said Obed-Edom. Look at chapter 15, verse 18. What does it say? And with them, their relatives next in rank, Zechariah, Jaziel, Shariamath, Jehiel, Uni, Eliab. Don't name your children. These names are hard. Benaniah, some are cool. Messiah and Mathiah and Eliphaz, Meldola. Who's right here? You know what Obed-Edom said? You're taking the ark? Oh, you need some singers? I'm there, bro. Me. He learned to sing. He's right there. You're going to take God from me? I'm going to go after God. I got addicted to this spirit, God, this awesome God that changed my wife, my kids, my home. My car runs better. My dog does what he needs to do on his own. He saw the change in his home. And see, today's world, God comes into people's homes and lives. Then we kick God out of our home because it's okay now. No, you got to follow him. Wherever he'll lead you and whatever he'll bring you through. Obed-Edom didn't want God's presence to leave him. Oh, Frank, you know, I don't feel spiritual sometimes and I feel God far. Well, are you after him? Is that desire he gave you hungering for more of him? Are you seeking him? Are you reading your Bible? Are you congregating, fellowshipping, confessing your sins? All that's part of that package. Amen? You awake? I'm awake. I'm fired up now. I'm actually sweating back here. Man, God's presence is so powerful, folks. He wanted God so bad, he became a singer. He said, oh, you need singers? I'm there. So Obed-Edom wanted more of God. Look at chapter 15, 23 through 24. Is that one next? I don't have it in my notes. Here's another verse. Berechiah and the Elkanah were to be the doorkeepers for the ark. Shabaniah, Josaphiah, Naphtali, Asamiah, Zechariah, Benaniah, Zelar. The priests were to blow trumpets before the ark of God. And who else was there? You need some doorkeepers? Oh, I'm there, God. I'll stand for you all day long. He didn't want to leave God. Could you stand all there for God? Could you at least take 20 minutes in your morning and pray to God? Could you at least take 10 minutes when you get home and grab your loved one's hands and pray with them from a long, hard day? It's not a lot of time. 20 minutes. This guy was going out of his way. And guess who was with him? His wife and kids. They moved. They trucked it into Israel. They were living outside. Sometimes God's got to move you or move some things around in your life. And we're fighting it. We're shutting it out. Has that not came? Have you felt God move from you? Go after him. See, I was part of a church, and I was moved here by God. I know, however it happened, I wanted to be where God is. God's over there too, but God's here too. He's omnipresent. It's wherever you'll let him use you. He's going to be wherever you'll let him use you. Wherever you'll serve, follow God. Wherever you live, wherever you work, wherever you find yourself daily. Not only Sundays, folks. This is just a little fix to get us through the week. Hopefully you're connected to some kind of midweek Bible study or service. You have to. We need to. You dry up. The flesh comes in and you dry up and you wonder why things are shambling in your life, why they're all rocky. Why are we fighting all the time and arguing? Why are you going to the scriptures? Or are you trying to fix that cart on your own? See, Obed wanted to be with God, so he became a singer. He became a doorkeeper. What else did he do? Go to chapter 16, verse 4 through 5. Obed's little by little getting closer to the Lord. Look what it says here. This is King David looking for new things for the ark as they brought it back. He appointed some of them to be the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord to extol and thank and praise the Lord, the God of Israel. And Asaph was the chief, and next to him in rank were Zechariah, then Jaziel, Shemarad, all those weird names and all those weird names. And who's right here? There he is again. He's getting closer to the ark. Do you want to get closer to God? Do you really want to get in his presence? Or are you going to just, I'll just stay over here. I'm okay, I got this. You guys got that, I'm good. Men, we're calling you all to come pray. Come pray with us. One Sunday out of the month. You know how many Sundays are in a year? I think it's 32 Sundays only, somewhere around there. I'm wild guessing, I counted them the other day. We're asking for one a month if you can do that. Come pray with us. Get closer to the presence of God. You want your life to change? You want situations to change, men? Be an Obed Edom. Go after him. Go after him. So now he's really close to the ark. So Obed experienced the power of God, that there was nothing asked of him that he was not willing to do. They didn't have to tell him. We need a singer. I'm there. We need someone to help us in the mornings to set up. I'm there. We need some men to come pray in the morning. We're there. Or some of you are just relaxed, too comfortable in bed, in your home. Everything's shut tight. You need to get out. You need to get up. You need to move forward. You need to be an Obed Edom. I know God's talking to a lot of you in here. He's speaking to a lot of you. You're fighting. Your heart's pounding. I know. Mine was. Because I need to get up and wake up and shake off the dirt sometimes. I'm not perfect. I'm glad there's some of these men here and they're calling me to the carpet like, okay, all right, here I go. Got to show them Obed. They see my cart all tore up, but I'm there. It's okay to be tore up because when two or three are gathered, who's there? Jesus Christ, God. Jesus said, well, there's two or three, I'm there. You can't do it alone. How did he send the disciples out? In twos. You can't do it alone, folks. You cannot do it alone. You're not an island, and you're not Lone Ranger, and you're not from Hollywood. Only Hollywood can make a Lone Ranger and one man destroy the whole world or control the whole world. That's Hollywood. That's fake. You got to be real. A real Christian that's connected to Jesus Christ and to the Word of God. The Christian connection. Stay connected. How will you know? Well, serve him. Read his Bible. You know how a banker can tell false money like that? Fake money like that? They work with real money all day. All day they're touching money. Once they touch a fake bill, this is fake. They don't even have to. They know just by touching it. See, if you come and let God touch you, you're going to know you're serving God. And things are going to start changing. But until then, you're just going to be that fake dollar bill. You're going to look good from the outside. You're going to know all the lingo. You're going to know all the words. You're going to crack every time you smile around your congregants. But you're never going to have that real joy. You're never going to be that genuine Christian. You got to get in there and go after God. You got to be an Obed Edom. You got to bring your broken ark and let him work on it. Quit trying to fix it. God is good. He says, I have great plans for you, not to harm you, but to bless you. But God, my wife died. I'm going to still do great things. She's with me. I got this. But God, my dad died. He's with me. I got this. You continue telling him about God. God, I miss my dog. There's more dogs. Get another one. There's a lot of dogs and cats. I don't like cats. Where's Jerry? I don't like cats, Jerry. Amen. Power to man. God is good, guys. He wants you to be an Obed Edom. He wanted you to hear this morning. Because some of you are struggling. I fought the phlegm demon all week and I'm here. I didn't let up from praying and studying and meeting some people through the week and seeking God. I go down there and pray and there's stuff all over the place. I don't want to use the right warm words here. Had rolls of Kleenex to my side. I cannot make an excuse not to bow down and worship God even if I'm sick. Because my Savior was beat to a pulp and still carried a cross over a mile. And I can't complain about a little cold. I cannot tell Jerry or Jeremiah I can't preach, I'm sick. I don't care if you can barely hear my voice. God is speaking. He spoke through a bush. He told the rock to give water. He parted the sea. He created everything you could see. And you're doubting this God that he can't change you. That your environment won't change. That your life won't change. Yes, it will. Do what this man did. Let him in your life. Let him control you. I dare you. Give it all to him. I challenge you in Jesus' name. Drag your cart to him. He'll fix you. 22 years drug addict. A cart tore up from the floor up. And in one day, he fixed me. In one day. And all I said was, Jesus, come into my life. And he changed me, folks. He put love for me and people. Love for my wife and my children. The churches. The Christians. You guys, his word, it doesn't stop. But you gotta let it. Just give it. Let it go. There's someone in this room that did exactly what my wife did one time. She popped all these pills for years. And then I met her and we're boyfriend and girlfriend. And I thought I was taking her to a woman doctor. Little did I know, I was taking her a schizophrenic, taking all these pills. We became Christians. A half a year later, she walks in, throws all the pills. She says, doctor, I'm done. Jesus Christ changed my life. She never took pills again. Amen. Give God the glory. You gotta let him in. You gotta let him work. You gotta just wait. God's patience is far, far, farther than ours, but he is patient, and in his time, he's gonna do it. But you have to let him. You have to open your heart. Give him your broken cart. Let his holy presence work in there. Hold your tongue. Hold those evil actions. Stand still, he says, and know that I am God. If you stand still, the enemy has to leave because he is your shield about you. He says, I will protect mine. I will guard you. I will bless you. But you're acting like that and doing that and not trusting me. I can't work with you, my son, my daughter. I want to fix that card, but your hammer keeps getting in the way of my hammer. And his hammer just has to swing once. Because all I said is, Jesus, come into my life. His sword just sliced me from my soul and to the bone, to my marrow, inside out, and changed me. And I cannot stop talking about Jesus. I have a hunger every day. Am I perfect? No way. Do I sin every day? Probably. But I come to him, and he puts people, some of you in my life, to keep me going. Come on, let's drag our cards, bro. Yeah, you got yours. Yep. Watch out, I was falling. It's okay, God's got it. That's how it works. You're a body. We're a body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remnant is a body that needs to go out there and bring souls. Be the examples to them so they can come. Leave these doors with that fire of the Lord Jesus Christ. My notes are falling apart. And the last point, the presence and power of God changed Obed-Edom's family. 1 and 2, God will give you a desire. Secondly, he'll give you dedication. That dedication comes from God as well. And my last point is, it changed his whole family. Read 1 Chronicles 26:8. Is it there, please? 26:8, look what it says. All these were to the sons of Obed-Edom. They and their sons and their brethren, able men with what strength? For the work of who, God? 62 of Obed-Edom's. That's probably all his family. That's his sons, his grandsons, his grandchildren. All his family came to Jesus. They were all wanting to serve around God's ark. And they all had ranks. And guess who ended up on top? Obed-Edom. His whole family came because he said, God, yes, come on in. Bring your presence. Okay, you're leaving me, God? I'm following you. And those are the results. You have generations under you. Some of you have children, grandchildren. Be an Obed-Edom. That's what you'll get of it. His whole family became worshipers of God. They wanted to be around the temple. How hungry are you to be around the temple? Or help the temple? Or the synagogue? Or remnant congregation church? God's calling all of you to be Obed-Edoms. What worked for Obed-Edom was that his response to God and saying yes were the results of that. I've been praying for my family, as you know. Some have been coming. Some have came to the Lord. After 16 years, I'm not going to stop praying for the rest of them. And you know what's funny? My other brothers and sisters that don't believe in God or are not quite there, they have no clue, but they're going to come to Jesus one day because I'm not doubting it. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep getting down there, phlegm or not, and pray for them. Amen. Worship team, come on up, please. Only under God's power are we going to be able to move forward in our families, in our worship, in our relationships. You can stand. Let's stretch and stand and get ready to worship one more time. Pray to Him. Give it to Him. Make this song your prayer. Leave these doors with the hunger like Obed. Pretend God's ark is leaving and follow Him wherever He'll lead you. Through your marriage, through your financial situations, through your struggles, through death, through friendships, through whatever it is, God is there. You know what He wants the most? To worship Him. You need to learn to worship Him. Don't hold back. This church is so lax. You can sing and jump and turn. This is how David danced before the Lord. And some lady said, oh, you were dancing and you were naked. He didn't care. He wasn't naked. He had the cloak of God. And to dancing in Hebrew is just spinning, because today's dancing is very dirty and provocative. This is how you dance to the Lord. You can jump and turn, because the word in Greek, Hebrew, dance means to twist and turn and worship Him. Amen. God bless you.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You